Welcome to Dental All-Stars. I'm Alex Nottingham, founder and CEO of All-Star Dental Academy. And with me is Dr. Todd Snyder, a dentist, an entrepreneur, a coach, a speaker, a race car driver. And this is an interview, which is a part of a collection of interviews where we're focusing on business and personal growth, because we have an event coming up this May, allstardentalevents.com. And Todd is going to be one of our great speakers there, talking about the 7 steps to high performance, creating the win. So please welcome Todd.
Hey, Alex, thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. And also to mention, you have a wonderful podcast as well. Delusional, isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, Delusional, winning the weekly war of dentistry.
Cool, because I want to talk about that in a moment. As for this podcast, I want to get into some of the issues. So we have the steps of creating a high-performance team. You're talking about that. So I want to know maybe I'm even going to kind of mess with your title for this podcast, like the stuff, and I'll come up with a good name, but the stuff in your way of high performance. So my copywriters will make that nicer, but essentially
roadblocks
that's what
to success.
Yeah. But you know, to get success, we have to overcome some of these issues and be aware of them. And before I go into the big one, I want to get right to it. And then we'll kind of get into all the other ones. We took some notes in the green room. But before we get to that, for you, Todd, and your experience and all these modalities, how would you define growth? And why is it important, growth?
Well, you know, I think everyone's got to define what their own growth is. But to me, is if you don't have anything that's pushing you or guiding you to become something bigger and better, then you're stagnant and you're complacent. And the world, unfortunately, keeps progressing and inflation continues and you're not keeping up if you're not pushing yourself to grow. For the same token, people like something new and something different. So again, if you're offering the same thing for 30 years, at some point that's going to, again, become stagnant, that people aren't as inclined to want that. Hence, you don't have to have the latest technology, but you at least need to be doing something different, maybe updating, you know, the office look or some of the systems. You know, you don't want to be stuck with some antiquated technology from 1960. Obviously, it's not going to work. So in that sense, growth is important. It's vital to your success as well as for the business to be able to thrive.
Great. And for you and yourself with growth, what resonates with you with growth, personal, business growth? What are some, like, you know, nuggets or whatever?
Well, growth for me personally or growth for others?
No, I'm curious about you, the race car driver. Me. What gets
All
you
right,
to tick?
Well, so I like to challenge myself every day, right? There's something new, something different. So basically at the end of each week, we have what we call the general's tent. And so instead of Saturday and Sunday being play days, you know, where you just goof off and do nothing, and then you just show up and react to the following week when it shows up Monday morning, you walk in the door, we actually show up with a plan, you know, how we're going to attack that week, you know, the weekly war that's ahead of us and the daily battles that we must, you know, endure each day. And so on Sunday, we're taking a look at everything that we did the prior week. Did we meet our goals? Did our plans work? Are we off track? Do we need to course correct? And then going into the next week, for me to achieve the goals that I've already laid out for myself, how am I going to do that when I show up next week? You know, what do I have to do? What does my team have to do? What needs to be done each day to create the goal, the outcome we're looking for? And rather than just being complacent, you know, each week and just saying, well, whatever shows up and whatever money I make is what I get. It's no, I intend on making X. I intend on achieving X. And to do so, I have to reverse engineer that success, meaning that by Friday next week, such and such needs to be in place. Well, how do I do that? Well, that means Thursday something had to happen. Wednesday something had to happen. And so backing that up, saying, okay, each day I have to do something such that Friday I've created the win. It's not like, well, I hope to get there. I wish to get there. It's like, no, I will achieve that because of what I set forth on Sunday. I took time out of my schedule to make sure that I get what I want.
That's awesome. Intentionality. Now, we have some of these barriers or things that are in your way of high performance. One of the areas that I've been seeing and across the board, personally in business, just in general, people that I notice and I study and I hear about, even we had a coaching call earlier with all of our coaches, and that was something that came up as well, where because we're going to cover some of these things in the podcast, but you have a client and, you know, you do all the stuff, but it's like this adage that you can bring a horse to water, but you can't get him to drink. And I see this idea of personal accountability, personal responsibility is actually the word, that I'm taking responsibility. And I heard you kind of mutter this idea of extreme ownership. And maybe I want to hear about that because you are a coach as well. And when you get people that they're, you know, blaming something else, or it's this team member, it's this or it's that, all these issues that we're going to teach are barriers, or even the solutions are irrelevant if you can't get to that. So tell me, Todd, what is going on? Why is this happening? And how do you fix it?
Well, it's not anything new, right? It's just part of society. It doesn't matter if you're a dentist or a business person, or you say like, okay, I can be comfortable and I can blame other things for happening, right? Well, doesn't matter what you're in. Any industry, it's the same. It's like, I can be comfortable and I can blame other people's. Other people. But from that standpoint, you could say like everything that happens around us, you could see or perceive as your own fault. Like we always want to instantly blame someone else. And I would tell you the first thing you need to do, it's very hard to do because most of us don't want to, you know, see ourselves as not being better, right? When we don't want to have someone think of us as less than what we are. So the first thing you have to do is be able to look in the mirror and tell yourself like, yes, that was all me. I screwed up. It was my mistake. I should have done something. But yet, every one of us is trained to blame someone or something else. That's the first thing we think of. So the first thing I do is, as soon as you open your mouth and say, I'm going to blame such and such, I say, nope, back it up 5 steps before that, and it's your fault. I don't care what it is. I don't care, you know, car accident, lack of production, lack of training, pick anything on the planet and blame yourself because you were there and you chose to move forward as opposed to move out of that place or to change the way it worked. And then, you know, Jocko Willink wrote a book called Extreme Ownership. And you know, that was great because I already had some of that mentality, but just reinforced it as far as, again, everything that happens is your fault. And if you perceive life as that way, number one, you take ownership, you have honesty and humbleness for the problems, but then you recognize, wow, I was wrong on all these things and it should have been me. I should have done better training for my staff, better training for me. You know, I should have told the patient something. You know, there's a lot of things you can look and go, wow, it really does all boil back to me. And once you take that ownership, everyone around you starts to do the same, which is interesting. And so you're reflecting something to everyone else and they see that as, wow, that's very humble of you to feel that way, but also it empowers me to do the same. Like, yes, it wasn't your fault this time. It was my fault. Like, well, thank you for saying that. And so that becomes interesting also that if everyone's holding themselves accountable to a higher level and not, you know, passing the bullshit, then in that sense, everyone rises and becomes better.
Do I have to change the rating of this podcast by you use a naughty word, or we can let one through. They won't get mad at us.
Is BS really a naughty word?
I don't know. Well, you use the word, but that's okay. I'll leave it in. See if Apple gets mad at me, but we'll see. They're transcribing.
I've thrown it in mine and it's never done.
Okay. It's okay. But I'll take it, but it's true. And I love what you said about brilliant with this extreme ownership, that when you start taking extreme ownership, that your team starts to do that. It's like people around you start to mirror that type of mentality of taking it type situation. So I thought that was really insightful to do. Tell me more about extreme ownership. I'm just on what, because I think that sounds like the solution to it. I mean, I don't know. Tell me more, Todd. I want to know because you see this and I'm just, again, just got off the call and I'm like, this was the issue. Like,
yeah.
Well,
the funny thing is it's so simple.
Is it?
It really is simple. Go stand in the mirror and tell the story. We call it a story, the lie. Tell the story you're peddling to yourself and then ask yourself, is that really true? You know, like think in your mind, like from the opposite perspective, you're listening to this, like, because usually when you hear someone else and they're blaming something, you're like, yeah, no, it's not. But our belief system says that, oh, I'm right. And I'm blaming them. And it's their fault. It's like, no, quite often it could be yours. You didn't think early enough. You didn't plan early enough. You know, there's so many things you could have done earlier, but yet most of us in life are reactionary. We just show up. And then when something doesn't go our way, we blame something. But it's like, no, wait a minute, back up. You didn't show up prepared. You didn't think ahead. You didn't plan ahead. You just showed up and rolled with the punches, right? So in that sense.
Why did it happen? So first of all, I want to know, why did this lack of personal responsibility, lack of ownership happen? And these are dentists. I mean, I guess we maybe, we sometimes give a pass to workers, although we want them to have ownership, but you know, dentists that went to school, you guys sacrificed a lot, right? To do that. And a lot of discipline, a lot of, ownership to get your grades and to achieve. And then now running a business, you're the team's walking over. You're not going to have those conversations. It's somebody else's fault. Like, how did this happen? You know, I want to know the genesis of this, of the situation.
Well, I think there's a few things, and you hit on it, is, you know, when you're in school, the discipline has to be there because you have to meet a hurdle. You know, that test is coming up, but if you don't pass it, you're either put back to take the class over again, or you're kicked out of school, you know, and so you have something that you have to achieve that. There's no one to blame if you didn't pass the test. You know, if you didn't get the work done, too bad. And I think to some extent, because you have that goal, you know, you have accountability to get it done. Versus when you're on your own, now it's like, well, I see patients, I make money. Okay. But obviously there's things that could perform a lot better if you were holding people and things accountable, including yourself, but we choose not to. We choose to be more relaxed and just be like, well, I finally made it out of school. And so therefore I have nothing else to do as far as goals. It's my time. I do whatever I want. So I'm going to be comfortable and complacent that my team's going to do the hard work to get me all the patients I need. And all I got to do is just show up and do dentistry. That's the wrong mindset. You're a business person. You know, not, you don't even have to own the office. You can be an employee, you can be an associate dentist, but you still have to take ownership of the fact that if you want to achieve things, it's on you. No one in this world is going to just hand you money and hand you patients. You have to be accountable to make this happen. Now, granted, you can't do it all alone. You have to delegate. So when you delegate, you just tell someone, go do that. Or do you actually give them tools, you know, weaponry, as we would call it, to achieve the goal? And then you have to hold them accountable that every day I'm going to look over your shoulder. Did you do what I asked you to do? Or are you just going, well, whatever phone call comes in, that's what I answer. You know, like, so again, someone else is passing the buck saying, well, I can't achieve something because I'm waiting on the phone to ring. It's like, no, you're just being reactionary. You're not being proactive to create the success that I want. So if I define what that is and I give you the tools and I give you a plan, that at the end of the day, that plan better be done. Right. And so you look at all these things, and go, well, that's pretty straightforward. That's the same as like outlining a school curriculum, and you're going to have tests and you have to pass them. But we don't put those in place oftentimes. Most offices, the systems are broken and no one's held accountable and everyone passes the buck. Hence, you get conflict of people, some people working hard, some people not working hard. And so everyone starts, you know, having conversations and or conflict based on what they've produced or how much they're earning. And, you know, you get drama.
Yeah, I think you made a great point with school, because I've been my law degree, my MBA, and I wanted to keep going back to school and get my doctorate in business or something. Heather's like, no, get a job. Stop that. But there is something very soothing about school because the structure is all there. The accountability is there. The responsibility is there. You know that if you do this, you're going to get that result. And then now if a dentist goes into corporate or works for someone, there's creating the structure for them for the most part. They still have to be responsible and not blame if they want it, but they become a widget. You do a job and you get transaction. But now to be a business owner and leader, you're like on an island, what do I do? And I think you brilliantly laid the issue out that now you're thrown into a business that you may or may not be prepared for. And it's all on you. There's no structure. There's no professor looking over your shoulder. What do you do? And this is, and you laid out the issue as well. So true is that that's where you need the systems and unique coaching. It's not debatable. It isn't that we have to really, I mean, we can talk about, I have videos and videos and training about why coaching is important and all that and all the return on investment and, you know, self-funding we talk about, but it's a no-brainer of why it's so needed, because if you understand the genesis of this, and where it breaks down, that you are a dentist, you're now out on your own, or even doing this for a while, and you're not putting the accountability in. And here's the thing, being a full-time dentist means you're going to be part-time something else. So you're going to be, no matter how great you are, you cannot be a great dentist and I don't know, and be a great business owner by yourself. You're going to need help. People, of course, but you need the coaching because you're doing dentistry too. Unless you take yourself out of that. So you're going to need the coaching, you're going to need the systems to create the environment to do it. And then and then taken on this extreme ownership that I'm responsible. Every successful person in sport and anything, it's me. You look at the great athletes. When the team loses, what does a team leader say? Tom Brady, for example, pick on somebody. His team loses. Whose fault was it? Todd? Whose fault? His. He doesn't say the damn receiver dropped half of the passes he thrown. Yeah. It was his fault. He took responsibility. And when they win, does he say it was me?
No, it's a team.
No, it's a team. Great team. I'm just grateful to work with this team. You're a Super Bowl MVP. No, it was a team. It's them. That's leadership. That's extreme ownership. That's the level and it's got to be automatic. When something goes wrong, and I like what you said, Todd, there should be a program that you create in your mind. Whenever you start blaming, something needs to come up and say, nope, I'm off. No matter what, it's me. It's me. You know? And I think that's brilliant. That's a great point, Todd, with respect to that. And you see this happen over and over again. So I really like this idea of extreme ownership. Anything else, Todd, that I should know? We talked about the genesis of it. We talked about why it happened, okay, which was a brilliant observation, and what they need to do about it. So what I'm hearing, what dentists have to do about it is just say, I don't give a whatever, and I am going to look in the mirror. No matter what happens, I'm taking responsibility. And even if somebody messes up, I mean, I assume eventually you don't accept people making mistakes. You deal with them, and if they're no good, you let them go. But the buck stops with you, right? You're always responsible. Is that what I'm hearing? I'm always responsible. Is that your
Definitely,
point?
Because if someone's not performing right, that's on you. Why aren't they performing right? Because you'll say, well, it's their fault. They're not doing, like, did you actually train them well enough? Right? And that goes back into your court, you know, All-Star Dental Academy for the training.
Right.
And so, you know, it's been proven that, was it 98% offices don't train their staff?
97.
Okay. I'm off by one. But, you know, you go like, my gosh. Now, if you own that right now, whoever's listening, if you own that right now, go, you're right. I haven't trained them. They already came in from someone else's dental office and they brought their own habits, good or bad. They brought them.
Right.
So if you're not taking the time to train them and show them what you want to be done, and then showing them what, you know, like how you're going to hold them accountable to making sure it did get done and give them the right tools, like, well, then it's on you. It's not their fault. And if they're complaining and bickering with other people, well, then maybe you didn't give them enough structure such that they were confident and comfortable doing their job, such that they're now pointing fingers saying, well, you were supposed to do it. No, you were supposed to. Like, no, you didn't train either one of them well enough such that they're pointing fingers at each other. So again, it always falls back on you, but that's hard to, you know, hard to take on, right?
Hard to take
on. No one wants to say they're wrong.
And especially a dentist, because you guys are built to be engineer-like. When you do a veneer, it's perfect. You follow a structure. And now what you're saying to me, you all got straight A's and good grades and top of your class, and that's how you became a dentist and you did the stuff. And now you're going to business and we're saying to you, you're wrong. Every mistake is you. And dentists don't make mistakes. So
no one wants to hear that.
It's like, it's crazy with respect to that. It's a whole mindset shift.
Yeah. But again, that's, you know, where I talk often about doing what others won't do. Well, right. Most people won't call themselves out and do things differently. Everyone does what? Well, you learn business through all your colleagues and all their bad habits, and you do what the majority of dentists do. Well, you wonder why the majority of dentists aren't more successful, because they're all doing the same thing with
that's right.
as everyone else. And it's like, well, no kidding. Maybe we need to do something different.
If you do what everybody else does, you get what everybody else gets. Exactly. You don't want that. You want to model. Tony Robbins, my mentor, would always say, model the best. What are they doing? Do what they do, right? With respect to that. Anything else, Todd, that I need to know about extreme ownership? Maybe I should read this book. It sounds like a cool book, but is there anything else I should know about this? I just love that what you said. It's funny. We were preparing in the green room and you laid out all these issues. Well, we're going to talk about this. And then I said, Todd, I want to know about this, whatever your little muttered extreme. What is this thing? I want to know and learn, because you obviously do this stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's not rocket science. I mean, it's a whole book on the same concept. We just laid it out in like a matter of minutes. It's like, you just have to look in the mirror and be honest and start blaming yourself. And as you said, you can rewire your brain. The same as when I talk about a problem, You know, 99% of us, when a problem happens, we instantly turn to frustration and depress, you know, and we lash out at other people. And it, you know, problem is perceived by us as a negativity. We're trained that way from a young age. And so, okay, here's another way to train yourself. Train your brain. You can do this through neuroplasticity. You can rewire your brain to see things as a positive. So every time a problem happens, it's going to be hard in the beginning, but say, you know what? This is a good thing. You know, smile and laugh, release some energy and say, like, this is a great thing. I can't believe this just happened. And most people are like, you're crazy. Why the hell are you happy about this problem? Like, because this is an opportunity to change and to make myself better and make the problem better so that it doesn't happen again. Or if it ever does, we already know the solution. And this is a phenomenal learning experience. A problem is a learning experience. And that's how you learn in life. You know, riding a bicycle, the first time you fell down, you chose to get up through adversity and crying and tears. And, you know, you said, I'm going to keep going. Well, that's what a problem is. I'm going to keep going. I'm learning from it. Great. I learned and now it's in the past. But too many of us want to avoid problems and see them as bad, horrible things. They're not. So rewiring the brain, say, yeah, bring on another one. Let's tackle this. Because once all the problems are gone, hey, I just keep rocking wonderful new things. I got new goals, new things to build, and they'll bring me new challenges, but I'm going to accomplish those too. Every time it's a fun new hurdle to get to the top of the mountain. But guess what? You may slide down the backside of the mountain, but there's another mountain you're going to climb in front of that. You just got to keep going every day.
Yeah. You just to summarize what you're saying is seeing problems as opportunities, not problems. And I think what I would say is for all of you and all of us to think better. We need to learn how to think better. And one of my business partners was saying to me about CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and DBT, which are the same type of therapies, which is all about how to think better. And there's this myelin in our brain that is the neuroplasticity. And then the more you reinforce these patterns, the grooves become deeper and deeper. And you stop thinking a certain way, those grooves start to release and they become weaker. So that we will have to break the old patterns. And there's a cool little thing he taught me, which was cool, which was like, it's the three C's. You catch, you check, and then you change. So if I catch, whoa, I'm being reactive. Whoa, I'm blaming. I check. Is blaming the appropriate response? What else can it be? Well, it could be extreme ownership, what Dr. Todd Snyder taught me. And then you change. I'm going to choose this time. I'm going to change and choose a different behavior. If you keep catching, checking, and changing, now you start reinforcing the new behavior and unwinding the old behavior, much like exercise. You keep working out, you build muscle. You stop working out, you lose muscle. The brain and the body keep working like that, and it just continues to reinforce. So the method is think better and do whatever it takes, CBT, NLP, whatever you want to call these acronyms, something to find a way to think better. And then if you think better, you will feel better. If you think negative thoughts, you're going to feel negative. If you start thinking as opportunities, problems, opportunities, you're going to think more positive. Duh. I take a happy person, I inject in their brain unhappy thoughts and obsessive thinking and blaming. They're not going to stop being happy, right? It's just simple. But I think this comes down to whatever it might be. It's a philosophical, what I love about this discussion, it's a philosophical decision. It's a philosophical decision to just say, it's on me. It's on me. And with all the negativity. And then you start putting into play these mindset hacks to rewire your brain. So I love it, Todd. I mean, I love it because you're doing it as a dentist, consultant, speaker, race car driver. You say on Sundays your life is moving with intention. I think we often go through life reacting, whatever happens our way. And crap is going to happen. It's going to happen. You're going to get older. Things are going to work as well. Life crises are going to happen. And we have to build ourselves where we're capable to be ready to handle it with some level of grace, okay, and capability. And so that's where we have to move with life with intention. And we have to take ownership and responsibility. Otherwise, we have no agency. We got to be proactive. So I love this, Todd, because I know you're no BS. That's your podcast all about. I mean, I listen to it and you go right. I wanted a taste of your podcast. So if you want to take a, you know, I'll put a link to Delusional. If you want to hear Todd, he has these monologues where he goes right at you. And he's like, you guys got to stop the bop, 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 bop. I think your podcast is explicit because you like to use very colorful words, if you will. No nonsense words. So Todd, tell me. We talked about extreme ownership. That is our topic today. We were working. You had 10 things of all the things that the aspects that dentists do poorly, and we threw it all out. I don't want to talk about it. I just want to talk about extreme ownership because this was bugging me, and I needed to hear it from the Delusional Guy podcast. So you're talking about at the summit the 7 steps to high performance. So I want to tell me just a quick nutshell. What are people going to come and hear and learn with this high performance?
Well, I'm obviously going to challenge people's beliefs because the majority of us, you know, have been doing things a certain way. And let's face it, as a dentist, you can make a decent, you know, life, decent income. But if you truly want to be more successful, if you really have a motivation to want to be better and, you know, to have more freedom in life, more revenue, whatever it is you're wanting to have, then you have to implement some systems that are different that you're not taught in dental school and that other dentists are not telling you. And, you know, it applies to any type of business, but, you know, it starts with extreme ownership, and, you know, so hence we're hitting on that now, which is great. But to be honest with yourself, you know, and to see yourself in a mirror for what it truly is, but then for the same token, to start outlining what you want in this world and how you're going to get it, you know, and who's going to help you get it. And so there's a lot of different steps to creating success. But as we've talked about here, you know, is most of us are just reacting, going, I hope I have a better year. You know, I hired some new staff. I took some new CE courses. And hopefully it'll be a better year, right? Or I wish it'll be a better year. Or I'm hoping to make more money. You know, I hear these all the time. But wishing and hoping doesn't work, right? So you have to implement some systems. And so we're going to talk about the systems that you need to be implementing if you truly want to become more successful.
And I think what's nice about the event, I want to ask another thing as well, because it's by the time this podcast drops and is made available, I mean, we're already at like 80% capacity. So hopefully we have a spot. If you sign up, definitely take advantage. We still have a few early bird tickets. We like to sell out quickly. We do, because we want to promote the next event. So I think it's a great opportunity. Why? Because you do a lot of speaking around the country. Why should a dentist and team members come to this event where we're focusing on personal business development and speakers? Why? I mean, it costs money. I know dentists don't want to spend. I mean, I get it. I'm frugal too. So why am I going to spend money? Obviously, I'm local. It's one thing. But if I'm flying across the country to come bring my team to this, why should I come?
Yeah. Well, obviously, if you're unhappy with where you're at now, you know, if the staff isn't performing the way you'd like, if the revenue is not where you want it to be, if you're not getting the new patients you want, if you're not having the new patients that want elective dentistry, or people aren't saying yes to doing more dentistry, you know, think of all the frustrations and negativities that you have in your practice. And if you sit down and write all those out and go, wow, there's a lot of things that are there. That's why you should be there, because we're going to talk about every one of those that you allow to continue to happen. You've allowed it for many years, that we're going to say, it's time to stop all of these. We're going to intentionally change things so these never happen again. Or if one does slip, we know how to fix it. And so you have to spend money to make money. The same as you had to buy a handpiece so that you could produce, you know, fillings and crowns, et cetera, to make money. You had to buy a dental chair to be able to treat, you know, thousands of people. You had to buy a dental office, right? You had to buy a car to be able to show up at work. Everything you have to spend money on should give you a return. If you're not getting a return on what you invested on, then you're not doing things correctly, or you're not following through with what you learned. You went back to your old ways.
And this is the way of reinforcing. I also wonder too, as you were speaking, let's say I'm a dentist, I'm doing just fine. I'm comfortable. My team's comfortable. Should I still come and listen to what you have to say? Is it worth it?
Good question. Because you might not be getting the response you want from me.
What would you say? I'm a comfortable dentist. I'm doing just fine. I don't need to hear, a race car driver dentist, what he has to say, and other great speakers.
Fine. Stay comfortable. But I'm guessing, really, you're lying to yourself.
Right. Yeah. There's always something to improve upon.
Mm-hmm. There's always some place to improve.
And that's the idea. The whole purpose of these practice growth summits, we move around the country. We're going to be in South Florida, May 17th and 18th of this year, is this collection of personal development and business development, the best that's out there that's happening, and to just be around that. Whether you're struggling, whether you think you're struggling, whether you're not, and you want to make sure you stay that way, it's always being open to those things. And those, like you said, those investments, it isn't a question, I went to the wrong seminar. It's usually a question, I'm not implementing it, right? And one of the cool things, it's not Dr. Paul Etchison. He is another great podcast. You guys have been talking. He'll be there. Dental Heroes is... he was saying it's not even just the speaking, it's the networking, it's who you meet, it's the asides. I mean, we'll have a networking event and all that, and you get to rub shoulders with some of the best, which I think is so important. So Todd, listen, we can rant for, this is great stuff. I really appreciate you helping me understand this a little better, because I'm seeing this happen out there in life and in dentistry. I think extreme ownership is so such an important issue. We're so happy to have you at the event. We're going to have a great time. And the website for the event is allstardentalevents.com to learn more about the event. If it's sold out, you can get on the waiting list for next time or see what other events we have. But that's this May 17th and 18th. Of course, remember to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Get the episodes as they release. Share with your friends. And until next time, go out there and be an all-star.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Dental All-Stars. Visit us online at allstardentalacademy.com.